Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
On X at Rich Zeoli. Busy day. Caroline Leavitt at the White House press briefing, which just wrapped up a short time ago, getting asked about the Jeffrey Epstein emails, which are being released right now. And she said it is a cheap ploy by Democrats and the liberal media to distract from the government shutdown, which is going to be reopening as soon as the president gets the bill. And he said he will sign it right away. And most likely that will happen later today. Now, of course, obviously, you don't know until all the votes are in, but that's the trajectory that we're on right now for that, which is that will happen later today, and then the government will be reopened. And you heard Hakeem Jeffries there going on and whining about how terrible this bill is. A lot of whining from late night comedians, air quotes, late night liberal hacks who pose as comedians on shows that were once late night comedy shows. I think it's probably a better way to say it, probably an easier way to say it. And John Fetterman coming out and saying who the people who are meanest to him are. And this will shock you, but it's not us. It's them. They're really mean to John Fetterman. So, yeah, we'll have that conversation as the show goes on today. And there's a lot to talk about because it's just one of those days. It's probably going to get busier as the show goes on, too. I have a feeling. And the president pardoning somebody who went hiking on the wrong trail. Yes. Went hiking on the wrong trail, didn't kill anybody, didn't hurt anybody, didn't damage anything. Just basically went down a trail that was closed in a national park and was going to go to prison for it. And that man received a pardon, which is good. And I will get into some details with you about that as the show goes on today, because it was ridiculous. Ridiculous. That was even ever going to be a thing. You know what I mean? That guy was ever going to face prison time. But we have this massive federal government with lots of regulations in the regulatory code, 300,000 of them. And back in May, the president signed an executive order, which is to go after this stuff. So, you know, for all of the craziness about our government, one of the things that we just don't appreciate enough is how much administrative agencies in the executive branch of government have promulgated rules and regulations that carry jail time and fines And they were not laws passed by Congress. Congress deferred this to them, and then they started creating all these wacky, various different things that put people in jail. For example, freeing sharks. I'll explain that, too, because that was another thing that these other people who received pardons by the president recently on this issue, they freed some sharks who they thought were being illegally poached down in Florida. But in all these cases, these people have to deal with legal nightmares and money, and they got to hire defense attorneys. And thank God there are groups like the Pacific Legal Foundation that step in to help these people. But the fact that it even occurs is because low-level bureaucrats with gigantic egos. Just imagine Howard Peck from Ghostbusters as the embodiment of this. Like how they created the Safe Puff Marshmallow Man by embodying their scary thoughts from when they were kids. And you embody a bureaucrat, and it's Walter Peck, and he's the guy that comes in and just decides to just stretch all his regulatory bureaucratic muscles and go after business owners and go after people who were minding their own business and may have unintentionally broken a law, but we break three a day. That is the famous book that I've had the author Harvey Silverglade on the show in the past, Three Felonies a Day. The average American breaks three felonies a day and doesn't even know it. And you don't have to have the mens rea, the mental state where you're trying to break the law. You know you're doing something wrong. You're doing it anyway. That's irrelevant. They just come after you. And the executive branch of government has just grown and grown. They at one point tried to figure out how many rules and regulations were on the books. They wanted to do criminal justice reform. They gave up after 300,000, and they said, this is just too much. We don't have the time. But you as a taxpayer pay for prosecutors and judges and trials, which are not cheap, to go after people doing dumb things that they didn't even know were illegal. Like going down a trail that had been closed in a national park. So we'll get into that today as the show goes on. And it makes me happy that this guy received a pardon. And I say, good, give me more. Give me more of this. I want more. More of this stuff, of people who have been just beaten down by their own government for no good reason whatsoever and have had to absorb all the costs that come with it and everything else, and it's just not right. And when the president signed that executive order back in May to go after this, to address this, to rein some of this stuff in, and to say we have to deal with people who have a mindset. And meanwhile, actual criminals are going free all the time in this country. People that actually commit crimes that hurt people. That actually hurt people. They're being set free every day, because we talk about that on this show and you hear about it all day long. They're mostly in blue cities, but nevertheless, they happen. And then we bust chops of American citizens who are minding their own business, literally minding their own business, or they make a mistake, or they do something that should be given a fine and they wind up facing massive jail time. So we'll talk about that. But as the shutdown is probably coming to an end today, a lot of people are very, very angry on the left. Very angry. Some of this is performative. Some of this is acting. Some of this is real. But obviously the consequences of this, as we learn more and more about New Jersey, for example, and what went wrong on Election Day, and the number of people who were SNAP benefit designees who were scared to death going into Election Day that they were losing their SNAP benefits, and maybe they would have stayed home, but they didn't. They turned out and they voted Democrat because they wanted to send a message to President Trump. And that's what happened. It happened in Virginia. It happened in New Jersey. And something like 87,000 SNAP recipients or something. I mean, the numbers are huge. They're huge. And so as we're getting more data now that we're a week away from this thing, we're a week out from the election, and we're looking at all these numbers now, we're finding out it's this, it's that, it's this, it's lots of little things that added up. But that's the consequence of the shutdown. It's lots of little things that add up. It's frustrated commuters. It's people who think the Gateway Tunnel project's getting canceled. It's people who think they're losing their SNAP benefits. It's people who think, or government workers in Virginia who are angry and frustrated and are worried about getting their paychecks. Little things that add up to big things and a big victory. Not just one thing. Trump voters staying home, yes, but Democrats who were supposed to stay home turning out. And when they got more numbers than we do, if that happens, then we're toast. And we were toast, obviously. So that's one of those things that we saw. Secretary Scott Bessent announcing that the tariffs on bananas and coffee are going away. Good. They should go away. That'll make life easier for a lot of people. We need our coffee. Got to have coffee. It's a must. It's essential. It's necessary. But we're targeting pasta made in Italy. I understand that we make a lot of pasta here. And there are, in this area, there are great places that make pasta. Homemade pasta, raviolis. I mean, South Philly, South Jersey, Pennsylvania. We are blessed with some great pasta makers in our area. But most Americans get their pasta at the grocery store that's mass marketed by these big food conglomerates. And I'm telling you, that pasta is not nearly as good as the stuff you get over in Italy. It's not nearly as good. It's the flour. There's all kinds of you go to Italy and you eat pasta over there. Everybody says the same thing. They say, I felt great. And I come home and I eat a lot of the pasta in America and I don't feel so good. Well, that's because our flour is more processed than it is over there, and the processing of the pasta is more processed than it is over there. And I'm not saying you can't get good stuff over here. I'm just saying you can if you go to a small, local, family-owned pasta maker. But for the most part, you know, if you're going to the grocery store and you're buying whatever the big-name Ranzoni or whatever it is, it's just not as good. But the other issue, too, is if we're going to put tariffs on Italian pasta, what is the national security implication of that? Because the whole point of this executive order and the president using his power on tariffs is supposed to be around national security. And Larry Kudlow made this point earlier today with regards to the bananas and the coffee. Let's stick to the stuff that has not, for the president's own good, if he's going to survive this court challenge, you can't make a credible argument that putting tariffs on Italian pasta is a national security imperative. Again, unless that pasta is being laced with fentanyl and, you know, some way designed to kill Americans or something, it's pasta. And it's not macaroni. Another reason why Jack Ciccarelli lost, he called it macaroni. That's probably the biggest reason why he lost. As I'm doing my post-mortem and all my analysis on this election, it was probably on the Friday show before the election when he said, it's macaroni, not pasta. And I groaned. We were live in Cape May. I knew it was over at that moment. I kept my chin up. I kept optimistic. But I knew at that point the election was over. That was the one single thing that threw this election, was that moment. But there may have been other reasons, too. And actually, that may not have made a difference. But nevertheless, pasta, there's no need for a tariff on pasta. And Giorgia Meloni's really upset. And we love Giorgia Meloni. And Giorgia Meloni's basically the Italian Trump. So we don't need to make her upset. And you can't give me a credible argument about why Italian pasta is a national security threat. But the president's authority here rests on national security being the implication. So if it's on steel, if it's on aluminum, antibiotics, medical supplies, all those things you can make a credible argument on. You can't do that, though, with linguine. Like, you just can't. And the most ardent Trump defender cannot make that argument on how a tariff on linguine is somehow in America's national security interests. It's just not. Italy's our friend. You know what I mean? We like them. They like us. We're getting along. No need for this. Italian pasta is really delicious, too. We need the bronze die cup. But the other problem, it's a larger problem. It's the MAHA problem. And they're doing the MAHA summit right now, the Make America Healthy Again summit. Is it the processing of our food in this country? We're not there yet. So if you want to buy healthy stuff at the grocery store, it's challenging right now because we're still at a mass processed, overly processed food situation in this country. And we got to get better at that. There's progress being made everywhere, but we're not there yet. And particularly when it comes to flour, we have a problem with how we process our wheat. We've got great wheat in this country, and there are great bakeries and there are great flour companies. Even in this area where you can get great flour that is minimally processed and it's good stuff, but for a lot of families that have to buy pasta in bulk because it's a cheap way to feed their family, not so much. So, let's get rid of the tariff on pasta. That would make me very, very happy. The other thing that would make me very happy is that would make me very happy is if we can call out Democrats on what's driving up the price of food in the first place, which is their energy policies. So as much as we're taking great steps, and we are, to combat the ridiculousness of the left's war on energy and their Green New Deal, the Green New Scam, and everything else, we are still dealing with a situation where states have created scenarios where they've been driving up the price of energy on purpose. I mean, that was what their goal was. That was what exactly what they tried to do. They did this in New Jersey. His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, came out very early on and rolled out his energy master plan. And when he did, and he rolled out his energy master plan, it was all about driving up the cost of energy so that you would be forced to have to choose solar and forcing you to drive an electric vehicle and doing all the other things that he wanted done because he was running for president. And like all these other Democrats that run for president, and Mikey Sherrill's going to run for president, forcing these monstrosity windmills down our faces and trying to destroy the Jersey Shore, anything that helps them, anything that helps them run for president and win a primary on the left. And then we pay the price for that. We pay the price for all of that. Because you and I know damn well that we need more energy, not less, especially with all these AI data centers that are coming online, and especially with the fact that we've got a million different things in our homes right now that are sucking energy, computers and smart devices and lights and cameras and everything else. So we know this. But the Democrats don't care because they want to drive up energy prices, and they look at that as a badge of honor. So as gas prices are coming down now, they're very proud of themselves, and they should be proud of themselves that gas prices are coming down. I mean, the Trump administration should be proud, and we're enjoying that. We're reaping the benefits of that, and that's a great thing. But at the same time, Democrats are doing everything they possibly can right now within states that they control to drive up energy prices. Gavin Newsom's a great example of this in California. No new drilling permits. In decades, there have been no new drilling permits. For decades, he has been waging a war against oil and natural gas in California. New York State still has a moratorium on natural gas, a moratorium on fracking. That's right. Even as we speak, even right now, as we speak at this moment in time, right now. So now you got this Democrat governor who's coming into New Jersey, the governor elect. And what do you think she's going to do? You think she's going to get all those coal-fired power plants back online? Absolutely not. You think she's going to do more nuclear power? No friggin' way. No chance. No chance, because they don't want to. Because you cannot win in a Democrat primary if you are pro-energy. You can't. You still have so many people, even though Bill Gates came out and said, listen, this whole thing, like, relax. We're all not going to die from climate change, and basically admitted, wink, wink, it was a scam the whole time. But even though he said that, it doesn't matter. They're starting this COP30 nonsense, the climate summit, in which case they had to bulldoze. I think I read, I don't know if it's true or not, but I read that they had to bulldoze all these acres of forest land to build up all their temporary housing and sites and everything else. And all I know is this. What I know is that Democrats' hatred of energy, driving up the price of everything, is a badge of honor for them heading into a primary challenge. So, Mikey Sherrill, if you think Mikey Sherrill for a second is going to be a friend of energy, you're nuts. She will fight to get those wind turbines back online. She absolutely will. She will fight to get those wind turbines back online. She is going to do everything she possibly can. Oh, you know she will. And I warned you about this. But then again, you voted the right way, so I'm not lecturing you. I'm lecturing the people that didn't turn out, but may have a home on the Jersey Shore. And that home is going to be under challenge, because the whole goal here is wait it out, wait till there's a Democrat in the White House, and then proceed with the construction of the wind turbines. You even have a guy who's the head of this wind energy group coming out and saying Trump's spreading misinformation. What misinformation? Whales and dolphins dying? I saw them. You saw them. I never saw them as a kid, though. All the years I went to the Jersey Shore, never saw it as a kid. When I was a kid, dead whales and dolphins didn't wash up on our beaches. That did not happen when I was a child. It happens now. And it happens because of what they were doing with the windmills and the exploration, the wind turbines. That's a fact. That's a reality. But if you can deregulate on energy, and if you can get more energy flowing, And this is going to be primary challenge number one, which is going to figure out on the national level what else we have to do to deregulate so that we can get more natural gas, more nuclear power, and all the things we have to do. But it's going to be a fight. And Democrats are going to try their best to try to slam the brakes on this between now and 2028, hoping that they can recapture the White House, or at least 2026, hoping they can recapture the House and they can try to neuter Trump, impeach him, go after him, whatever it takes. For me, personally, I like the idea of lower energy bills. Mikey Sherrill is still doubling down on this absurd idea she's going to freeze them on day one. How are you going to do that? She still has not answered that question. She still has not said how she's going to do that. So she'll find some way to finesse it when she takes the oath of office as governor, and she'll find some way to finesse it where she's signing an executive order on energy, and it's a day one crisis. It doesn't mean you're actually going to feel any relief. And even if somehow she's able to get the utility companies to go along with freezing rates, they're still the highest they've ever been. The highest they've ever been. I mean, I just got my PSE&G bill in the mail, and I'm shocked again. We barely used any energy the last couple months, but it's still high because the rates have gone up, and those rates are going to continue to go up. But from now until Mikey Sherrill takes office, which is January, those rates will go up even more. And then she's going to freeze them at what, the highest levels they've ever been? Stupid. Ridiculous. Scott Bessin called her out on this, by the way, on Morning Joe. We'll play that clip for you. And I'm glad he did, because he said to Morning Joe, a lot of these policies on energy are done at the state level. And he pointed out that Mikey Sherrill is full of crap when she says that she's going to freeze energy prices. And he called out New York. He called out Kathy Hochul for their moratorium on natural gas. Good. Excellent. More of that, please. We need more of that. That's the Big Story of the Hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vinaria, Vinaria Dental. Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, Vinaria Dental. Don't let those year-end benefits expire. Talk to Dr. Mike and see how you can use those benefits to get the beautiful smile you deserve. Caroline Levitt addressing the Epstein emails. We'll talk about it straight ahead.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different.
It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
All righty, so it is Wednesday. Getting through the week. It's great. Good. We're almost to the weekend. I love it. Feels good, right? Feels good. Weigh in on our YouTube chat. You can do so. Of course, 1210WPHD is our YouTube page. You can also call the show, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. You can weigh in there. Many different options for you to join the fun and weigh in and let your voice be heard. All right. Please go ahead and do that. And we'd love to hear from you. So today, the White House press briefing, Caroline Leavitt was asked a question on the Jeffrey Epstein emails. This came out shortly, I guess, well, a couple hours ago. And this is going to be a story that obviously lingers, as you can imagine. So she was upset that people were not asking more about the shutdown. And obviously, that is the big story, the shutdown ending. No doubt about that. But these emails, which are being released by the Republicans in the House, one of them alleges that President Trump was with Jeffrey Epstein when one of the victims was there. And Caroline Leavitt addressed that specific allegation that came up today. This is cut number one.
Ouija.
Thank you, Caroline.
Sure.
I have your statement about the new Epstein emails that have been released by House Democrats. Mm-hmm. Separate from why you believe the emails were made public, can you address their substance? Did the president ever spend hours at Jeffrey Epstein's house with a victim?
These emails prove absolutely nothing other than the fact that President Trump did nothing wrong. And what President Trump has always said is that he was from Palm Beach, and so was Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was a member at Mar-a-Lago until President Trump kicked him out because Jeffrey Epstein was a pedophile and he was a creep. And this email you refer to with the name of a victim that was unredacted now and has since been reported on in this room, so I will go ahead and say it, Virginia Guffrey. And it was CBS's own reporting, Ouija, that recently wrote that Miss Guffrey maintained, and God rest her soul, that she maintained that there was nothing inappropriate she ever witnessed, that President Trump was always extremely professional and friendly to her. And so I think it's a question worth asking the Democrat Party, and you should all go ask them after this briefing, of why they chose to redact that name of a victim who has already publicly made statements about her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein is unfortunately no longer with us.
The president putting out on Truth Social the following, I'll read it to you. The Democrats are trying to bring up the Jeffrey Epstein hoax again because they'll do anything at all to deflect on how badly they've done on the shutdown and so many other subjects. Only a very bad or stupid Republican would fall into that trap. The Democrats cost our country $1.5 trillion with their recent antics of viciously closing our country while at the same time putting many at risk, and they should pay a fair price. There should be no deflections to Epstein or anything else, and any Republicans involved should be focused only on opening our country and fixing the massive damage caused by Democrats. He continues and says, in other words, the Democrats are using the Jeffrey Epstein hoax to try and deflect from their massive failures, in particular the most recent one, the shutdown. That was the president posting that at about 2:37 p.m. today, right before we got on the air. Now, like with anything else on this stuff with Epstein, there are many people on the conservative side or the MAGA side who want the truth on the Jeffrey Epstein story to come out. All the truth and nothing but the truth. And according to this email that's alleged here, they say that Trump knew the victim, and you heard Caroline Leavitt's response to that. The House Democrats are now predicting a major Republican support on the bill to release the Epstein files. According to a story from Politico that came out just a short time ago, they're saying now House Democrats believe there will be overwhelming support from Republicans on an inevitable floor vote on a bill that would compel the Justice Department to quickly release materials related to the late convicted offender Jeffrey Epstein. Speaker Mike Johnson is scheduled this afternoon to swear in Representative-elect Abita Grivalia, an Arizona Democrat, whose addition to the House will provide the, what does it say, the 218th vote on a so-called discharge petition, a procedural maneuver that allows rank-and-file members to end-run leadership and force the vote on the legislation. If that's the case, the measure demanding the release of the Epstein files would then get the vote. Assuming the bill gets passed in the House, it would still require approval by the Senate and to be signed into law by President Donald Trump. Republican leaders have not guaranteed they would hold a vote in their chamber, and I doubt very highly that they will. Representative Ro Khanna, the co-sponsor of the bill, along with Representative Tom Massey, Republican of Kentucky, told reporters Wednesday he believed 40 to 50 Republicans would join Democrats in supporting the bill in the House. If we get that kind of overwhelming vote, that's going to push the Senate, and it's going to push for a release of the file from the Justice Department. But I'm not so sure that they're correct in the sense that the Senate's going to go along with it. The Senate probably won't. The Senate will probably just bury it, and that'll be the end of it. And in addition to that, you still would have to have the president sign it. And if he's out there saying this thing is a hoax, then that's very unlikely that that would happen as well. And Trump officials are still waging an intense pressure campaign to get at least one of three House Republican women to remove their name from the discharge effort, according to two people granted anonymity to share private conversations. If that push is successful, it will complicate efforts to get the measure to the floor in the first place, as Republicans are more likely to vote in favor of the legislation itself than they are to sign onto a discharge petition seen as an outwardly antagonistic gesture towards leadership of the House. Democrat optimism is growing, though, following the release of the explosive new email suggesting that Trump knew of Epstein's trafficking activities. That correspondence was singled out by Democrats in the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, part of a huge tranche of files from the Epstein estate the panel rolled out on Wednesday. Republicans have claimed Democrats were selectively releasing the materials as part of an effort to damage Trump. So we'll see where this goes. I imagine it's going to probably get some legs in the next couple days. But, you know, the problem that I think the president has on this is that you have a lot of people within MAGA who want the truth in all this to come out. And they're pushing actively for all this to come out. And they're just not going away. So, you know, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and others are going to keep pushing, and they're not going to go away on this matter. So you've got people within the, I guess you'd say, the MAGA social media sphere, who are also actively pushing for this stuff to come out. And they've been relentless about it. Relentless about this. Caroline Leavitt was also asked about the transparency around Epstein and the allegations. And the question that was asked was basically, well, why not be more transparent? What are you afraid of here? She's defending that level of transparency. Cut number two.
Thank you, Gavin. Two questions on this. In the interest of transparency, why not just go ahead, release the full files on Epstein, get this all over with?
This administration has done more with respect to transparency when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein than any administration ever. In fact, this administration, the Department of Justice, has turned over tens of thousands of documents to the American people. We are cooperating and showing support for the House Oversight Committee. That's part of the reason you are seeing these documents that were released today, because of the House Oversight Committee's and Republicans' efforts to get these out to the public. This administration also moved, the Department of Justice also moved, to unseal grand jury testimony, which we know, unfortunately, a judge declined those requests. So this administration has done more than any. And it just shows how this is truly a manufactured hoax by the Democrat Party. For now, they're talking about it all of a sudden because President Trump is in the Oval Office. But when Joe Biden was sitting in there, there. The Democrats never brought this up. This wasn't an issue that they cared about because they actually don't care about the victims in these cases. They care about trying to score political points against President Trump, as we have, of course, seen with this government shutdown. And this entire thing, again, it's not a coincidence to the American people at home. There are no coincidences in Washington, D.C. And it is not a coincidence that the Democrats leaked these emails to the fake news this morning ahead of Republicans reopening the government. This is another distraction campaign by the Democrat and the liberal media, and it's why I'm being asked questions about Epstein instead of the government reopening because of Republicans and President Trump.
But given your Reagan. Interest in transparency, Caroline, why are White House officials then meeting with Representative Boebert in an effort to try and get her to not sign this petition calling for the release of the files?
Doesn't it show transparency that members of the Trump administration are willing to brief members of Congress whenever they please? Doesn't that show our level of transparency? Doesn't that show the level of transparency when we are willing to sit down with members of Congress and address their concerns? That is that's a defining factor of transparency, having discussions with members of Congress about various issues. And I'm not going to detail conversations that took place in the Situation Room in the press briefing room. Reagan.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
One of the things that came out here, it's very interesting, is that in October of 2016, Michael Wolff, you remember him? He's the guy, he wrote one of the many books about how Trump is destroying the world. And I'm not sure if he was the one, it was 25th Amendment bad, but one of those guys, you know, one of those guys of that. Anyway, he was conspiring with convicted child sex offender Jeffrey Epstein to finish Trump. A few months later, Wolf was granted several months of all access privileges in the Trump White House. This is one of the emails that came out. So Michael Wolf to Jeffrey Epstein. This is coming out now today. Importance high. There's an opportunity to come forward this week and talk about Trump in such a way that could garner you great sympathy and help finish him. Interested. He sent that to Jeffrey Epstein October 29th of 2016. Michael Wolff, who is allegedly a journalist who'd go on to write books about Trump and how awful Trump was. And then he got all kinds of access in the White House, and then he got access in the Trump White House too. And then he wrote, I think it was Fury was the name of the book. I forget. It doesn't matter. Anyway, the point is that he was looking to try to get Jeffrey Epstein to help finish Trump in October of 2016. Now, that obviously didn't happen, because if there was anything there, and this is what I've always said, which is that there was such an effort to try to find opposition to destroy Trump in any way, shape or form. I mean, in 16 and 20 and 2024, anything, that they would have found it. Now, the simple excuse would be they would think they didn't need it because they thought they were going to win. So they just didn't. But that's not how politics works. I mean, in campaigns, you don't not do opposition research because you think you're going to win. You do it anyway. And then if you have to, you throw something out in October, you throw out an October surprise. That email that was written to Epstein on October of 29th of 2016, obviously they were nervous. The polls, this is right before the election, the polls were showing Hillary Clinton was going to win, but there were a lot of other people that were saying, I'm not sure I believe these polls. So he's reaching out here trying to say, can you do the kill shot? You know, the NBC video didn't do it. They thought that would be the kill shot. They had all these rumors going around that there was this Apprentice tape that was going to come out, you know, where the president, with Trump at the time, was using the N-word. That never happened. That never materialized. But the point is, they were trying to get stuff from Epstein. That email proves it. They were trying to get stuff on him. So I guess the only thing I can think of is, if there was something there, it would have come out. They would have found it. And if they didn't find it then, they would have found it either when Trump was president. Because it's not like he won the election and then he turned around and said, all right, well, now we'll leave the guy alone, let him go govern. So they probably would have tried to bring it up then and try to get him impeached and removed from office. Well, then they certainly would have tried to get in 2020. It wasn't like they thought Biden was a slam dunk. So they thought Biden could win, but they didn't think he was a slam dunk. So then they would have used it then. And then if not then in 2024, when Biden was clearly a brain of pudding mush, they had to swap him out for Kamala Harris. So then the other theory was, well, they couldn't do that because it would have exposed the Clintons. But there was a story about the Clintons that came out. It came out in January of 2024 regarding Jeffrey Epstein, and CNN ran with that story, but nobody cared. And it basically said that, you know, Bill Clinton was palling around with Jeffrey Epstein, and there's new evidence coming to light that Bill Clinton knew things, and CNN reported that story in 2024. It was during the election, but it wasn't about Trump, and so nobody paid attention to it. And that story just was crickets. So it was 2024. CNN reports that, according to a 2011 email written by Virginia Giuffre, who's the person who's now deceased, the victim, and that's who Caroline Levitt mentioned today, Bill Clinton had stopped Vanity Fair from writing sex trafficking articles on Epstein. And CNN reported that story back then, and nobody cared. So The problem here is that you've got people that want all the truth on Epstein to come out. But it's obvious now Democrats want this to come out now because they want this to be something that's going to make everybody believe that Donald Trump is implicated in all this. But as a guy who's been involved in politics for a long time, I just don't know how, if he is implicated in this, it didn't come out already. Because that's just, it would have. There's no way it wouldn't have. And if the argument is, well, it didn't because they were trying to protect the Clintons, okay, well, that would be 2016's excuse. So they had opposition research, but it implicated Bill, too, so therefore they sat on it because they didn't want it to hurt Hillary Clinton's chances of winning the election. Like, okay, fine, yeah, that would make sense. But then explain 2020. Explain 2024. Explain the years that Trump was president after he beat Hillary Clinton. Like, why none of that come out? Would that not come out? Then the other argument is that it's really about protecting high-level people who are within the government, or it's about protecting Israel and the Mossad, or it's about protecting all those things. And that's much more likely to me to be why there would be a cover up, because, you know, there's all these stories about Jeffrey Epstein and his links to the Mossad and his travels to Israel and his photographs with these unnamed Israeli soldiers. And, you know, I've long said I think this guy's a spook. And I think that, you know, the guy who was the U.S. attorney down in Florida, who was basically stopped from going after Epstein, who said that? He said he was a national security source. And that's why when the FBI showed up to raid his penthouse in New York City and they were going through the safe, and then at some point they stop and they don't get all the evidence out of the safe and they just leave without trying to get a judge on the phone to get a warrant. And then they don't come back for 4 days, and by then all the stuff's gone. That's the stuff that happens when somebody is a national security asset, and they just don't want all the things to come out about him. And I've just personally believed, and this is, you know, adding up all the various little things here and there, story this, story that, story that, it's much more likely that Epstein was putting people in compromising positions, and he was doing so on behalf of our government, and probably Israel's government, and probably doing so, and those people, and we have to protect that, because we can't be seen like we would use a guy like that in such disgusting and hideous ways. But if you've ever watched a good spy movie, you know that the lengths to which governments go to be able to either extract information from people or blackmail them into silence, to get them to do things, there really are no limits to what governments will do when national security is on the line. So nothing would shock me. Nothing in the least would shock me. But the Democrats' fascination with this now is also not shocking, that they are doing this now when they had 4 years to do it and Joe Biden was president and they ran the Justice Department. So if there was anything there on Trump, then they definitely would have released it then. They had access to everything. There was nothing holding them back. So why didn't they do it? Were they just lazy? Like, no, of course not. They were going after him for inflating the value of properties. You don't think they would have gone after him for Jeffrey Epstein if there was something to go after him for? Of course they would have. 100%. They were turning over every rock, every tree, everything they possibly could to find something. And in the 4 years that Joe Biden was president and ran the Justice Department, and they had access to all this information that now they're crying about wanting to get released, they could have released anything they wanted. Biden's Attorney General Merrick Garland, who hates Donald Trump's guts, obviously, could have appointed a special counsel. I mean, he loved doing that. Could have appointed a special counsel to look into the Epstein matter, but they didn't. Why not? Was it to protect Trump? Was it because they were really... Or was it the fact that it really doesn't implicate Trump? It implicates a whole lot of other people who are very high up in our government and very high up in the intelligence community. And it also implicates other foreign governments, too. And this now becomes a stunt in the sense that they know it's never going to pass. So they can scream about this and make Trump look guilty. But they know it's never going to go anywhere, because even if they were to do this by going around the rules of the House and they were to push it through a discharge vote, it's still not going to go anywhere in the Senate. And then they force the president's hand. If by some way they're able to get it passed in the Senate, you force the president's hand on this and you make him look guilty, even though the reality is whatever he's blocking is most likely regarding Israel, national security, the Mossad, whatever, than it is him. Because if it was about him, that stuff would have come out a long time ago. You're telling me if these people were in charge, they wouldn't have put out every single freaking thing they possibly could have regarding Trump and Epstein? Of course they would have. That's just politics 101. Considering the ways in which these people went after him, anything that they could have gotten and put their hands on, put out there, a document, an email, a link, something, anything, they would have done it. Of course they would have done it. Maybe not in 16. Maybe not, I will grant you that. Maybe not in 2016, because you know Bill Clinton's all over that. I mean, that guy. So given that, yeah, it probably would have hurt Hillary, and they figured, well, we're going to win this one. The polls show that we're going to win, so what's the point? But that doesn't explain 2020 and 2024. And that gap of time that they had to either release things in the election leading up to 2020 or release things when Trump was president, where they could have tried to destroy his presidency, because God knows they were trying with every other thing they could do to destroy his presidency, or 2024, leading up to that election, when they had gone after him with every possible weaponization method known to man. You know what I mean? So that's probably just a common sense view of it. It's the Occam's razor, simplest thing. But by forcing this vote now, you put the president into a bad light, you bring this issue up again, and you force him to have to even battle members of his own party on this, who rightfully want answers to come out. And I want answers to come out. But my guess is it's not about protecting him. It's about protecting something far greater than him. That's at stake here, and that's U.S. relations with another foreign government and the things that were done that would make all of us sick in the name of helping that foreign government. That's my guess, if I had a guess. And will we be ever able to prove any of that stuff? No. And are there going to be all kinds of people that have various internet shows that are going to be saying these things and alleging these things? Yes. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying they're never going to be able to prove it. So they can go on and they could speculate, and they could spend 90 minutes speculating about it with nothing to prove and nothing to show for it. And if there were documents that came out that were able to link that and show that, they probably would be redacted for national security reasons anyway. So all of this is kind of just a show at this point. It's been handled poorly, and I've said this before, so I'll say it again for the sake of consistency. This has been so poorly handled by this administration. It really has. I mean, Pam Bondi coming out and with the stupid binders and that whole thing, and you know, handing binders to like guys like Jack Sobieck and others, and like, here you go. And all the truth is going to come out. And I mean, just an absolute amateur job. So they created this monster of people wanting information and being told that they were going to get information and that all this was going to come out. Like, they created this. And so people have a natural expectation then that that's what they're going to get. And then they don't get it and they get angry. I mean, if you're literally told by Trump's attorney general, hey, come to D.C., I'm going to hand you all these binders, and then we're going to release everything, and we're just getting started here. And then all of a sudden that comes to a screeching halt. Yeah, you're going to be upset, especially if you're one of the people that took pictures on the steps of the Eisenhower Executive Office building with a freaking binder. I was not one of those people. And I think whatever's being covered up is absolutely 100% about foreign policy. Absolutely. There's no way the FBI gets stopped in the middle of an investigation when they got a safe open and they got all this stuff in plain sight. And then it's like the cancer man from the X-Files walks in. Remember that guy with the trench coat who's always smoking? It's like that guy walks in and he's like, stop it. And then it just stops. It's that. All right. Let me tell you about the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. We're going to be back there December 19th for our next live show, and it's going to be a fantastic show. I'm really excited for that. Excited beyond belief to join you for that. Come and join us for that. This is a great time to be in Cape May, a great time to be at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, and a great time for you and your family to get away, because they've got specials and packages that you are absolutely going to love. You are going to love the fact that the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, has resort credits available for you when you book a fall midweek stay or a weekend getaway. And you can use those resort credits at Hemingway's Restaurant, great food and drink, the gift shop. The kids are going to have a lot of time off between now and the end of the year with Thanksgiving break and Christmas break and teacher conferences and everything else. The Grand Hotel has the heated indoor saltwater pool. It's beautiful. My kids love it. Your kids will love it too. You'll love it. And there's so much to do in Cape May, and Christmas is beautiful, and they go all out with trolley rides, and they've got the houses are all decorated. It's just something to see. So make your reservation today by going to grandhotelcapemay.com. And if you do want to do an event, whether it's a baby shower, bridal shower, corporate event, or a wedding, my friend Caitlin will help you plan the event of your dreams. So do it today. grandhotelcapemay.com, my happy place, grandhotelcapemay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard outdoor protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.